Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Nutrafol, we don't just help your hair, we help your body grow it. Because it's never just about your hair. It can be your job or your deodorant or your lunch or just normal life. That's why our whole body approach targets the key root causes of hair thinning. Discover your root causes and why we're the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com. These statements have not been approved by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease paid for by Nutraceutical Wellness, Inc.
Hi, everyone. I'm Vincent Joe.
Hi, I'm Kathy Reed.
And I'm Allison Reed.
Hi, I'm Ashley.
Hi, I'm Grace.
We're from the Haydenettes.
I am Mark Henretti.
Ciao a tutti, siamo Rebecca Ghirardi
e Filippo Ambrosini.
E vi diamo il benvenuto a
This Weekend Skating.
Welcome to This Week in Skating, the weekly podcast bringing you the latest news from the world of figure skating. Here are your hosts, Daphne, Gina, and Matteo.
Welcome back! U.S. Figure Skating National Solo Dance Finals will be held in Wesley Chapel, Florida this week.
And who better to have on the podcast to talk about the event and all other things solo dance than reigning U.S. solo dance champion Brooke Tufts and reigning U.S. solo dance silver medalist Lucas Appel. Welcome back to This Week in Skating, guys!
Hi, guys!
Hello.
Hi, it's nice to be back.
We're happy to be back.
Yes.
Yeah, we're really excited to have you back. Correct me, but you haven't competed against each other yet this season, have you?
We have not.
Nope.
Right. I didn't think so. So I think you've had two different paths to nationals. So we'll start with Brooke. Tell us about the events you did this season and how you're feeling about your results and performances.
This season has been pretty great overall, to be honest. I have no real complaints, which is very nice to say going into nationals this week. This season definitely went by a lot quicker than last season to me for some reason. I'm not sure why, but it feels like it flew by. I remember last season being like, I'm done with these programs. I'm excited to wrap them up and start new ones. And this season, I'm like, oh my gosh, I only have a week left. Like, that's so crazy. The competitions have been great. Started out, first competition of the season was an international event, which was very fun to start off with. And then being able to go back into some more low-key, smaller competitions was nice, just to kind of work out kinks of what we wanted to change and stuff like that. And competitions here and there, I made some little baby mistakes that, again, we work out, and then everything was good. And then finished off this season, my last two competitions were Dallas and Lake Placid, which were both great skates, new personal best scores. You know, I was very, very comfortable and very happy with the way everything went, and I'm still comfortable and happy with the way everything's going.
What about you, Lucas?
So this season for me has been a season of firsts, and I completely agree with Brooke. We debuted our programs at dance camp back in February. So for 7 months, we've been having to like show our programs. It's just flown by. I even told Marina today, I was like, it doesn't feel like it's been 7 months. It does not.
It doesn't.
Yeah. And so for me, at least, my first competition of the season was Poland International, just like Brooke. You know, we went to internationals. And that was an amazing experience. And then coming back, doing some domestic events. I did Pickens International at the end of April. So I had, you know, my season, I've felt really good. I feel like I've, my programs, we've been getting the feedback. It's been constantly evolving. And I ended my qualifying season at the Copper Cup in Utah and ended with season best scores there. And was happy overall with the feedback. And we're just continuing to grow and evolve the performances. And me, myself, and the coaches and my training team, and we're all very happy with how everything's been going leading up to Nationals next week.
So this year, of course, the rhythm dance was music from the 1980s, which is what the teams did last season. What was it like for you? What do you think overall?
I was extremely excited to hear that it was going to be 80s, actually. You know, we weren't really sure what I was going to do last season, if I was going to do another season. Like, we weren't really sure, just with life and whatnot. But obviously, I'm here and I'm here for more. So the running joke was, well, I got to do one more season just to do 80s. Like, that was the running joke at the rink. So everybody was like, no, she's not done. She's going to do 80s at least. And I'm still here for more. So I was very excited going into the 80s season and being able to pick out that music and stuff like that. I think my mom liked it the most. my parents definitely really appreciated the season and me having to find music. They didn't hate me when I was searching for music and just playing it all day long in the house. so that was much appreciated from them. But yeah, no, it was exciting trying to pick the music. And originally Cold Hearted Snake was not my first pick.
Oh, wow.
No, Cold Hearted Snake was the last pick. Originally I had said Flashdance, and then we were like, no. And then it was Madonna. And then we were like, no. And then we were on Cold Hearted Snake, and it was funny. It was one of the figure skating directors at my rink, whose daughter is a dancer, who was at a dance competition, not a nice dancer, a regular dancer, and was like, oh my God, this girl had the most amazing solo at a Cold Hearted Snake, da-da-da-da-da, whatever. We were like, ooh, that might be a good idea. Mm-hmm. So we tried it, and it worked out. And it's worked out pretty well. It's worked out in my favor, I can say. So I'm happy with the pick.
What about you, Lucas?
So for... I think, again, just like Brooke's parents, my parents very much appreciated it. It was 80s. They loved it. And my parents, they both grew up as musicians. You know, they went to schools of the arts, so they very much, you know, they love to give their input about music. I will say, everybody had a very different opinion of what I should skate to. I threw out some ideas, you know, of, you know, what I should do, like Amy Stewart, maybe do Janet Jackson. My parents were like, maybe you could do Frankie Goes to Hollywood. Like, they were just like throwing out so many different things. And then finally, we found, I played Holding Out for a Hero, for Marina. And she said, I think this encapsulates your personality so well. And so then I was like, okay, do I do a Bonnie Tyler mix or do I do Footloose? And so then we kind of whittled it down to, I think we should do Footloose. These three songs match my vibe and my feel. So Marina just kind of saw it for me in a way. And again, it wasn't like a first pick. It was just kind of something, as soon as we played it, we were kind of like, I think we should do it. And just like Brooke, I have no regrets with this choice. It's probably one of my favorite routines I've ever skated to. It's like so much fun. And there's three different songs, which I've never done three different ones for my rhythm before. So having that change, it's a lot of fun. And I'm very, very happy that we solidified that.
Now, do you guys listen to what the teams did in this previous season before you pick your music? Because with your season being later than theirs and then ending before they start their next season, I just didn't know if you guys kind of listen to their music and look at their programs first before you decide, oh, maybe I'll do that music or that music.
For me, a little bit. I try to get some inspiration from the teams for sure, just to kind of see who's doing what. Another thing too that I look out for a lot is to see who's doing the most of what piece, especially considering these are such, like, we only have so many years to work with. I mean, even in with the teams in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, obviously a lot of people chose 70s, understandably so. There's a lot of the same music. And the same thing for the 80s. There was a lot of the same music. And again, they're great pieces of music, so I get why everybody picked them. But then it actually, for me, it makes my life a little bit harder, because then I'm like, well, it's a really good piece of music, but everybody did it. Like, I don't want to have to do it.
Yeah, you know, the reason I asked that, because when, you know, with the 80s, Daphne said, you know, there were so many great pieces of music that no one touched. So that's why I was wondering if you look and see what the teams are doing before you guys decide your programs and things, to see if there could be something different that you could do, or, you know, or you do the same thing too. But yeah, that was one of Daphne's first comments, is just, there was so much music from the 80s and a lot of it was used.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it was the end of disco, regular rock, like pop, regular rock that's now become classic rock, but hair band, hair metal, the beginning of techno, like there was a lot in there. But I also realized this year when I was watching the rhythm dances, so much of what you end up picking has to be, does it fit with the pattern and the timing on the pattern? And then I, you know, that's when I realized, okay, yeah, you know, yep, okay, I get it.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing. Yeah, I think that was a big thing with a lot of people picking their music. So I completely agree, you know, making sure it kind of, you know, obviously it fits the theme, and also, is it going to be entertaining to sit there for 3 minutes? And is it going to build enough for, you know, 3 minutes of a program to sit there and watch, so it doesn't become one note?
Yeah, exactly. And so now there are certain songs that I heard in Dallas and Lake Placid in the rhythm dance that I now, every time I hear them, I picture the Paso Doble.
Yes.
It's like, yep, I can see it. Yes. I can see it every time. It's like, oh, I think it's forever changed.
I've started to listen to some music for next season. And like in my head, I'm like, does this go with Paso? And I'm like, no, it's a really slow Paso. And I'm like, oh, that's a really fast one. Like, it still has to, even though we don't really have the full Paso. I mean, our rules aren't exactly finalized for solo, kind of, yet. Yeah. So
they have to be soon, though, right? Because international.
Well, there is the international guidebook. It is out now. The international one is. So because I have a girl at my rink, who skates for Thailand, and she's already prepping to go to those events. So for Team Thailand, but yeah, so our coaches are already putting together, like, all right, looking at the rules. All right, what do we have to do for, you know, your routines and stuff?
So what do you think about now you've done the 80s and now you get to choose from 50s, 60s, and 70s? What are you thinking about that? That's going back even further.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's fun having a wider range than just having to stick with the 80s. I mean, what I actually struggled the most with last season is a lot of the stuff that I wanted to skate to was either 1979 or 1990.
Yep.
I was like, really? I was like, well, that kind of sucks. But no, I'm kind of enjoying it.
There were some songs that people picked for this year that I was like, no, it had to have come out in the 80s. Like, this was not a 70s song, had to come out in the 80s. And I go look it up and it's like, oh my gosh, my music clock is off by 2 years.
And that, like, 78, 79 to those early 80s, those were close.
Yeah, yeah, very close.
Styles start to blend a little bit. So that's why it's like the end of disco and into that 80s.
It is.
So I like,
yeah, into punk.
Mm-hmm. I like being able to have the wider range, I think, choosing. And also the fact that we are allowed to have remixes and covers.
Yes.
And
yes. I'm excited about that.
I'm really excited for that, just because you can do so much more with it. You can kind of regenerate it.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of potential. I like that they're tweaking things a bit so that they're building off what they learned this year and last year going forward, mm-hmm. because I think that's only going to make things more fun. And I can appreciate where they're trying to make things more fun for the audience. Yeah. But I also have said to Gina, why is it that Ice Dance has to be the testing ground for how we get the audience interested?
I don't know, mm-hmm. but I'm hearing a lot of the music, a lot of 80s programs are happening in singles and pairs this season. So mm-hmm. maybe it's just Ice Dance is the sets the trend.
The trend center.
Yes.
I was just going to say, Ice Dance is just different. You know, we just set trends for everybody else to then follow, you know.
It's one of the reasons why Ice Dance is special. It isn't like the other disciplines. And it's not just about the jumps or the lifts. It's about everything. It's about the essence of the whole sport. And I think that's one of the reasons why I gravitated towards it so early on and still love covering events and taking pictures, because there's just the positions that ice dancers create on the ice is just so incredible. So let's talk about a little bit. We touched on internationals. What was it really like when you were at these competitions, knowing that this was your international debut and that this was seriously the ISU said they were going to do it and they followed through? What was it like for each of you at that first international?
So this season I did two internationals. I did one in Poland and then one in the States. Definitely, and going to Poland, I talked to you guys right after Poland, all the way back in March. So that was my first competition of the season. That was my first time going to Europe. That was my first time everything. Just the people I met there were so lovely. And I was mainly, yes, the competition went incredibly well. I was able to go and represent the United States. And it was great that I won and got a good score, especially for the season debut. But it was really the people that you meet from all of the different countries, all the different people that are involved with it, people that run the competition, people that are involved with the ISU, people, you know, anybody that, you know, you talk to about it. You can just tell how people were so excited to see solo dance growing and to see it on such a large scale. And people were just so appreciative. I think I told you guys, like when I was over there, they were like, because of stuff like this, we're able to connect with it more. It's able to be put on a larger scale, so we're able to learn more about it. So definitely doing at least for me, it was a lot of the people. And then also when they announce you like your name, like, you know, Lucas Appel or Brooke, I imagine it's the same type of, like, it's almost kind of like you have exactly like angel wings in a way. Yeah. It's almost like you have angel wings in a way where they're like, you know, Lucas Appel or Brooke Tufts from the United States of America. And you're able to represent your country with pride, and that we were able to go to three internationals total. And for us to win representing the United States, I think also just showed how strong the United States is in solo dance.
Yeah, I'm not surprised because solo dance has been going on at Lake Placid, and I've been going there since 2003. It's been there every single year. We've always had, you know, I feel like the development of it in the U.S. has been very, very strong. So I wasn't surprised to see some names from the U.S. at the top of the podiums.
I mean, Finland was amazing. It was beautiful to start. Helsinki is beautiful. We had some funny moments as well in our travel, that is for sure. There was a blizzard while we were there. It was like beautiful, beautiful weather one day. And then one day there was a blizzard and we were like walking through the town, like little worms in our coats, just trying to wiggle through, which, like, I don't know. I just like all of that to me, it's a part of the experience being able to go to another country and see the culture there and everything like that. Sorry, my dog is in here. The bigger rinks and all the people from the other countries and just being able to meet everybody, to see everybody who has brought this to life. And, you know, everybody's a reason for this and how big it has gotten. the U.S. is very strong in solo dance. And I'm very proud that I'm able to say that for all of the skaters that are in it. It's amazing. And I love being able to see it grow and become just as strong in all of the other countries as well. It is truly amazing to see how it's one after the next, after the next, after the next skater. And being in Finland and seeing that, and even with the younger ones. And it was awesome having some of the younger ones come up to me and be like, hey, like, I follow you on Instagram, or I saw this interview with you, and da-da-da-da-da. Like, it was just, it was so, so nice to, like, hear that and be like, oh, my God, I've always wanted to meet you in person, and da-da-da-da. Like, just from the younger ones, like, it was awesome. So I appreciate it a lot through that side of it.
So there were a few international competitions this year, but what is next season looking like for internationals? I mean, because this was sort of the inaugural international season. So what is year two looking like so far?
There are about, I wish I could pull up the list in front of me.
Five or six.
That's what I was going to say. Yes. I think it's about five or six competitions. Same locations. The U.S. one is in Georgia.
Okay.
Yes.
We have Helsinki again. I know that we have Poland again.
Yes, it's a different rank in Poland, but I know it's in. Yes.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Do we have the Netherlands?
Yes, Netherlands and UK. UK is like in a month or something like that.
The one in the UK is very, very soon. I am not going to that one. It's a little too soon for me.
I am right there with you. We've been running ragged for 7 months. We're taking 2 weeks off.
We did talk about doing it because my coaches were just kind of like, eh, you'll be trained. And I'm like, did we forget about the new rhythm dance?
Yeah.
And they were like, ooh, that's right.
Yeah.
So the turnover of that one is a little bit quick. There is also supposed to be one in France in December, which for some reason isn't on the list. I'm not sure. That might be a weird thing. I could be wrong. So France is getting, involved as well. They're having an event, which is awesome too. So it's getting there. There's at least one a month until April.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. April. Cause I think Finland. Yeah, because this
same time, April, I think that's the last one.
Yes, because then the one in the States is earlier. It's like beginning of March or something like that.
Yeah.
It's like around the same time that I went to Poland this past year.
Yep.
So
the schedule is different, though, it seems like a little bit. It overlaps more once you get into it, but it seems like the events are earlier than what you would normally be getting ready for the national solo dance qualifying. Doesn't it usually start in like late February or March?
Yeah.
Yes. That's still pretty early. Like that's very, very early. I only know of one small competition by me that's usually right after Easter. So depending on when Easter is, late March, early April. That's like the soonest I will usually start. Obviously now with the international season, that's a little different, but
yeah,
it's a very long season with the way domestic goes.
It's made it longer, I think, now because the internationals are taking place pretty much before the qualifying season.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which matches in some ways team ice dance.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It does.
Yes.
But then, as I was telling Gina and we talked about before, with IDC and the way that we cover events, we usually, would have April and May to kind of like, okay, we're going to recharge and regroup. Not anymore.
No.
Sorry. Because there's lots of different things. Yeah. Daphne, it's not.
There's no break. There's no break skating whatsoever.
No. Yeah. Not never. Anymore.
Well, April at least was popping because there is. You went to Finland in April, right? It was in April this year. You did Finland in April and the international. I did Pickens International in April. So it was busy with, solo dance content.
Yes.
Yeah, there's been a lot going on because I've been doing Q&As with ice dancers from all over the world, pretty much. And then I just set up the international profile page mm-hmm. so that skaters can send in their profiles if they compete internationally. That's the start, because I couldn't do profiles for all the junior and senior skaters throughout the world because it takes a lot of time. So this is the start. There'll be more and I'll be building off it. But for now, it's you know, little things at a time. And I'm kind of following the same process that I did when I created icedance.com like 25 years ago. It's like, okay, little bits at a time. We'll do senior, then, you know, build off it. So little things. The Solo Dance Hub launched about a year ago. And it's a very popular part of IDC now. Mm-hmm. Like, it gets a lot of attention. So I'm really pleased with how much that's grown and that we've been able to support all the work that you guys are doing.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, and it's so appreciated all around.
I guess I've followed solo dance just in the States, so I don't know as much as where it's popular in some of the other countries. Where are you guys seeing it grow? I mean, when these international competitions that you guys got to participate in this season, where were you seeing a lot of the, you know, countries having big ice dance communities or, you know, a lot of solo dance skaters, I should say?
I think Britain.
Okay.
Great yeah. Britain, probably. Okay.
Great Britain has a Great very Britain. Good program going for themselves. Okay. They have a great program with lots of skaters for sure. I can't say too much about their lower levels just because I genuinely don't know.
Right.
Their junior and senior, they have a good group. They have a very good group.
Yeah.
And with very good skaters in it as well. Mm-hmm.
Very talented.
And then I will say when I was in Finland, obviously there were many Finnish skaters there and there were a lot of younger girls and boys in it, which was awesome to see just because they're younger and they're going to grow in it and they're going to become their own in solo dance and everything, which I love being able to watch and see them all get taller and become themselves and see their styles grow and everything like that. Like, that's the most fun part for me to watch. So Finland has a good younger crew coming up into it as well.
Yeah, that was like, it's very similar when I went to Poland. At least when I went to Poland, there were a couple in the junior and senior flights. And then, you know, they had a big group of like littles, like the little, like, you know, the basic novice, the advanced novice groups. They had a lot of them. And I was talking to, I didn't know this at the time, but I think it was like some higher up of like the Polish Fed. I don't know. It was some person. I just was talking to them in the rank that they were there. And they were like, so excited about something, like, we're so excited for it to grow and for this to develop, and they like speaking so passionately about it, and like, we're gonna try to create all these programs to really help develop it, especially for our younger skaters who really want to get into it, and then things just grow. And I was like, that's literally so perfect, because that's how I got started in it, was having this program, seeing it develop, starting out when I was 13 in juvenile, and now 6 years later, I'm 19 and I'm in senior. Like, you know, it's just having a great program to stick with and a great community. And I saw that a lot, at least from when I went to Poland.
That's really great. I know that in the UK, they've been holding like solo national championships for a while, quite a while.
And didn't they just have a solo dance camp too? Was that what Mateo went to? Okay.
Yeah, they had a solo dance camp. There was just a solo dance camp in Italy.
Yeah.
That I know some of the British coaches went to help out. It's growing. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to, you know, I'm trying to keep my ear out there for all the different things that people are doing.
Yeah.
I did get a message from a club in Ontario, I believe, or it was up in Canada. That just mentioned, hey, we're doing some programs for our skaters here. We're excited. And I, you know, it's great to hear that it's growing. It just seems like the last 12 months, it's exploded.
Yeah.
Like, it was building, building, building. And the ISU taking an interest and making it a thing. Boom.
Yeah.
And I look at some of the teams that have come out of Britain, and I know that some of the skaters did solo first. Like, solo was there. Mm-hmm. If they didn't have a partner, they were doing solo. And so I guess it just really opens it up to, if you don't or can't find a partner, you don't have to give up on dance. You can right. still mm-hmm. do dance. Yeah. It's not a thing where you have to decide that the only way that you can compete in dance is if you have a partner. There is another avenue now available.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it is prestigious and it's growing, and who knows where it's going to go. And so I think the more we can, you know, throw a lens on it, a bright light, yep. just so that people can notice that it's there. It's going to take time to get interest, but I think it's already yeah. like exploding.
Yeah.
Which is yeah. great. I mean, I got to see ice dance become popular here in the US about the time of Meryl and Charlie,
mm-hmm.
like when they first went to senior, and we started getting three teams at Worlds, and it built up and it just became, oh, the US is an ice dance mecca now. This is yeah. not yeah. what I saw when I started. And so now I feel like I'm getting to see it again with solo dance becoming a popular avenue. And it's so much fun to get to see. Melanie and I have talked about it. We're pretty much all in on solo and hoping that it just continues to grow and the opportunities are there
yeah. Yeah.
Going forward. And I think the ISU's investment in it by designated competitions for internationals yeah. is a huge step as we now start to step into year two of internationals.
Yeah. So.
And hopefully yeah. down the road, it'll have its own international series, like a, you know, Grand Prix and a Challenger, and then a Worlds, mm-hmm. hopefully a Worlds yeah. for solo dance. And then we can be petitioning for Olympics for solo dance, just yeah. like yes. synchronized. So we just have a bit of time. Yeah, but just we got to keep moving it forward and keep promoting it in the yeah. best way possible. But yeah, it's so exciting to see it just keep growing and growing. I get to see it when I go to Lake Placid every year. And so I'm just, it really, I had no clue about it until, you know, you guys were on the podcast and I've actually sat and watched it and I was like, this is really cool. And it's a great opportunity, yeah. You know, for you guys to have, you know, to compete, you know, you don't have to have a partner to compete. You guys are doing it out there and doing a really great job yeah. at it. So
yeah,
it's its own thing. And you can choose to do solo dance. You don't have to. It's not like, oh, well, I didn't get a partner, so I'm going to do solo. If you, mm-hmm. some people don't want to skate with a partner. Yep. They'd rather do it on their own.
100%.
Prime example right here.
That's where I ended up.
Yeah, as much as I enjoy, listen, I enjoy doing, I've had two partnerships. I enjoy doing them, but ultimately, I love solo dance. It's like, it's what got me started in dance. And I think that's such a big thing. You know, you can choose to do it.
You can choose.
And that was yes. a big thing. That's like the 2022 year, 2021, 2020, 2021. It was like whole COVID year. I had a partner. We did well. We won novice nationals. It went really well. We broke up a couple months later for our reasons. And then I was just doing tryouts. But then I was like, you know what? I want to do solo again. Because I did the junior year, I had to miss junior nationals. And I was like, you know what? I really want to get back out there. I really want to compete. And at this time, there was no time for me to get a partner and compete for the season. So I was like, in the background, putting these things together as like a maybe. But I was like, no, let's do it. Let's stick with it. And then after mm-hmm. that nationals, all the rumblings started coming out of like, solo is going to be international. So we just had to wait all of last season. But now it, you know, came to fruition. And I was so glad because I'm very much a person of like everything happens for a reason. So, you know, sometimes when a door closes, a window opens.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
I agree.
It's true. I think that, again, this is another avenue for skaters to get to pursue and they can choose it. And I think that you don't have to look at it in a way in the way I said. It's a choice if you want to do that.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
So, heading into the final competition of the domestic season, how are you feeling going into the final week? Last year, I know we talked to both of you heading in as the top skaters to watch. Is there anyone else you think we should have our eyes on too?
Amal.
Yes, Amal. Amal. Yeah.
And I know that everyone will agree. That
yeah.
Kid, I can say kid, she's that much younger than me. Is a spitfire and is amazing. I give her so much credit for her skating. She is an amazing skater, and she deserves all the credit.
100%. I don't think I've ever met. I train with Amal in Florida, and she's one of my closest friends. As much as we do compete against each other, at least this season, she is so funny. She works so hard, and for her to be only 15 and to be so talented, and to have the skating ability that she does, it's just phenomenal. And I would say she is probably the incoming one to watch for sure.
Yeah, she won nationals last year at the junior level. Yeah.
Past two years,
yeah. Right? She's won. It's amazing that she's only 15 because her skating just to me...
Her skating is the quality of... like a 25-year-old. It's like, you know,
yeah,
it's beautiful to watch in person.
Yeah.
But I would also say another one to watch is, and I've seen, I really connected with her at Copper Cup, was Charlotte Manfield. She's so sweet. And my mom was able to come to Copper Cup and come to watch, which is very nice because I don't get to see her as often. So she was able to come and watch, and she sat with Charlotte Parent, and I really sat down and watched Charlotte skating, and my mom hasn't really watched a lot of the solo programs this year, but she was like, she's really improved and she's gotten a lot. So I definitely think she's the one to watch for sure, just because I've seen her over the past couple of years and she's really grown and really improved, and I give her major flowers, and I love her programs this year.
She's improved a lot over the last year.
Mm-hmm.
She's gotten so good over the last year for sure.
It must be fun for the two of you to watch the skaters that are coming up behind you. Because you kind of get to watch them grow every year. And since you've been in it for a while, I feel this way about Lake Placid. And every year it's kind of like a recheck of how much someone has grown in a year. And I'm starting to notice, like, oh, wow, that they're getting better. Like, this is different, or this program is different than last year. So it must be fun. I know for me it is. I've been watching kids grow up in ice dance for 25 years.
Well, was it you who said to me in Dallas that, like, I'm not the Wrangler anymore?
Yes, it was me. That was the ongoing thing, is Anne and I would always say, Brooke is wrangling all the kids from
Grigor. I would run around the competitions being like, you, get over here. You need to get your skates on. You need to get changed.
But the ones that were so little are now growing up.
They know when to get changed and put their skates on now.
Yeah.
You don't have to tell
it's
them.
A different, it's so different.
Rylan and Patrick aren't little anymore.
Yes, they are. Don't say that to me.
I know, listen, but they look, when I saw them walking around Lake Placid, I was like, what?
Oh my God.
Who are they?
Even just from last year.
I know.
I can't even imagine what Kristen and Igor feel like, just because obviously Rylan's their daughter and they've known Patrick since he was in a stroller. And they've been best friends since then. So I can only imagine what they feel like. But me just knowing Rylan since she was five, even me, I'm like, oh my God, stop.
Yeah. They're at novice level this year. I feel like it was yesterday that they were juvenile. And so it's like...
in their little Aladdin program.
Yeah.
When did this happen?
I know.
It's just funny because we always saw you kind of wrangling and getting everyone where they needed to be. And now they're kind of... yeah.
They can do it.
They're more mature.
They're more mature.
I still think that... they're still in there. Those two little kids that would be running around.
Oh, it's there. Don't you worry. It's in there. And it comes out.
So, Lucas, how are you feeling about the finals being in your home state?
I feel so honored that Florida has really grown in solo dance. And ice dance in general. I mean, there's a lot of people have moved to Florida. A lot of people have come and gone, but, you know, I feel really honored that, you know, now that this year there were three qualified competitions in Florida. There was one in Orlando, one at my home rink, and one in Tampa. And literally where Nationals is, it's a two-hour drive for me, hour and a half. So it's really close. I feel really honored that just there's been so much, you know, warm reception about solo dance in Florida. And it's just really grown and so many people take an interest in it. And I also feel like that's a huge part to play in Marina's development in it. You know, Marina moved to Florida right before COVID in 2019 and I started up with her in 2020. And she knew of solo. We had a couple people that did it. Now we have a ton of people that do it because she's really gone on board with you should do it even if you don't have a partner. If you want to do it, if you don't want to do it, that's fine. But she's such a huge supporter of it. And I think because that we have such a renowned coach like Marina, who has been in the game for so long. And she, you know, I think it's just great that there's this avenue for it. And she's really embracing it, especially with it being in Florida. I'm just really excited because I know there's a lot of Florida people that are coming to watch. A lot of people from my home rink are coming to watch, which I'm super like grateful for. And I feel very blessed and honored that, you know, people want to take the time to come watch me skate, you know, but it just feels like this is a culmination. Also a little fun fact, this rink where Nationals is going to be, this was the rink where I first ever competed solo dance in.
Aww. Oh my gosh.
2018. Juvenile. I think I just did the pattern events. It was like a local like state games competition, so it wasn't qualifying. But I remember I did the pattern dance events at that competition. So I'm going to recreate the photo. I have a photo somewhere of me standing at a certain spot in that rink, so I'm going to try to recreate it at Nationals. But I feel like, especially it being at that rink specifically, it feels like this is so full circle. This is where it started, and then this is where our season is going to end. And especially, this was a huge season for you and me and the entire solo dance community. Like, first international wins, you know, big scores, representing the United States, going to Europe, being able to do these things. You know, I was also very privileged. Like, I was also very honored. I was able to get my first ever 10 in a component mark in a competition in Florida. So I was like, it just feels like a culmination of, like, this is so full circle and everything's coming together.
And now Brooke, I'll go. You go ahead.
No, you okay. Can, you go
and
ahead.
And Brooke, you have another role at the finals other than competing. What are you going to be doing for IDC?
My lovely interviews that I actually love doing. I am a person that needs to be distracted and doing stuff. Otherwise, I'll sit and I'll ponder. And I don't like to sit and ponder. So when you guys had reached out to me and asked me to do it, I was like, absolutely, 100% yes. I did upgrade this year, by the way. I do have a little mic for everybody this year.
Oh, awesome. That's great.
I will say it's one of my favorite activities to do. I'm really excited that I have pretty much all day on Thursday to be able to get everybody for patterns, which is going to be really fun. Friday, obviously, we have combined, but seniors like in the middle of the day. So after the fact, I'll be able to grab everybody. And then I remember last year before the free dance, like junior had ended, seniors like starting, like I'm pretty sure the senior event was going on and I was still doing interviews with people. I was like,
I saw that. Yeah. I was downstairs, like in the lobby, and I was just like stretching. And I see like Brooke in the corner being like, this, I'm here with novice national champion. Like, I was like, oh my God. I thought it was fantastic. And I thought it was so cute too.
I have so much fun doing it. I love doing it.
I'm so glad.
So excited to do it again this year. I have some ideas too. Of more questions, people, and all this stuff. And my my best friend Kim is coming with me this year. So that will be super fun. She's kind of my newest travel buddy. She came to Lake Placid with me too. And she is my assistant through these as well.
Oh, wonderful. I'm so glad. I was so worried that it was gonna like distract you too much and take away your focus. But I'm so glad that it's kind of the opposite.
I'm a person who truly relies on muscle memory for competition. I truly do. Like I go through so much training, and I think a big part of being able to do that is maturity. I'm mm-hmm. old enough now to know that I can just let muscle memory take over. And even being a coach and coaching the younger ones, I have a funny thing that I say, and I say, why make your life harder? Why try any harder when you can already do it? Why, like, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't try harder and you shouldn't push yourself or anything like that, but when you know you're trained, when you know that you're ready, what's the point of making your life harder? Mentally, at least. And for me, you know, that works for me. And it calms me down and it makes my life easier. So
I'm so glad to hear that. Yeah. You know, if you have any downtime, which I know you won't now because you're doing all these interviews, you can always do like longer interviews that we can transcribe and put on IDC. So if there's anyone that you think would be good.
Absolutely. On Thursday. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Just because there's most of those patterns with so many girls there are doing patterns and combined and shadow and the girls from Michigan. Like I still don't know how they do it.
No one knows how they do it.
Oh, perfect example. Charlotte. Perfect example. She's going for everything.
Yeah. Well, and
Charlotte's and Lucas, correct me if I'm wrong, but Charlotte's shadow partner is Sophie Lewis.
Yes, and that's true.
Yeah.
They do not train in the same state. Don't they? Do they meet up beforehand or do they like only meet at competitions and just do a practice together? Because they're really good.
They are. They could do that. I don't really know that much. Like, I overheard them talking about it, but like, I was like, I don't know. Like, I was like, how does that?
Yeah. How does that work?
So, your story, Brooke. There is your story.
That right there. No, perfect.
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to be like, how do you guys do this? Because you're from Delaware and you're from Virginia.
Virginia.
I actually did think of that one. I did think of that one. That'll be a good one.
How do you make it work and still be competitive? Mm-hmm. Like, how does that happen? Like, how are you able to do it? My first step into solo dance was to focus on the combined events because that was the easiest like segue in. It's like, okay, we're going to focus on this. We haven't done any articles on shadow at all. And so that would be great.
I think that's a great starting point at least because they're both so talented at patterns. They're both so talented at combined. Like I watched them both. They were both up against me at Copper Cup in Utah last month. And I haven't really gotten to like sit and watch them skate this past season. Like I've seen like bits of their programs here and there, but I was like blown away with like, they do patterns. They spend the time for combined and then they come together and they do shadow and they're both amazing. They're both great at that. So I'm like, it's amazing.
How do you find the time?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Like, how do you make it work? Another thing I love is there are different like clusters of places where a number of dancers train.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's really something that's common in teams as well.
Yeah.
It's Kalamazoo Skating Club, but I believe they kind of like revamped it almost kind of like how we have like Krieger Studio. There's the Dance Edge. There's another one where Naomi is. What's Naomi? Is that Ice Den?
The Ice Den. Solo dance team.
Like everybody kind of has the thing. I think it's like Gen 2S.
J2S1. That's what it is.
J2S1. That's what it is.
Yeah, because I follow them on Instagram. Yeah.
Yes.
That's what
it is. Okay.
2S1. Yeah. Because it's Jen, and then is it two Sarah? No.
It's two Jens and then one Sarah. So
and
it's
then
like,
one Sarah. Yes.
Yeah. So it's like J2S1.
It's really cute.
I love the names.
That's kind of like the Michigan crew. Like everybody has like, because they have so many people now, or they can.
Yeah.
Like it's cool. It's fun. And I think it gives it a little bit more of like a competitive camaraderie type of vibe. So you're not just going to the rink to practice. Yeah. Da, 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 da. And listen, some days it feels like that. And I'm not saying that's every single rink, but every skater kind of has that day. And being able to have your team and to know that you're on a team is like a nice little push sometimes.
Yeah.
There's Krieger in Jersey, there's International Skating Academy here in Florida, there's Naomi's in Arizona, there's Dance Advantage, the Solo Dance Advantage in Michigan, the Kalamazoo people, like it's so,
yeah.
I think there's a new one. Oh, I think it's where Charlotte is, and a couple of the Delaware skaters, like the Diamond Edge Academy.
That's a new one, and then the Dance Edge in Virginia.
Yeah, Dance Edge. Yep. So just seeing it, like, yeah, I think having that, like, team support, or, like, if you go in every day and you're like, okay, everyone's running their programs. Everyone's training hard. Everyone has a same end goal. Mm-hmm. It's fun. Because you see everyone working.
Yeah. Well, you were talking about teams, and it reminded me that, Lucas, you went to see Naomi's team in Arizona this spring. What was that like, seeing another team's solo dance community?
It was probably the best week, not of my entire life, like one of the best weeks. It was such a joy because I told Naomi, like October, November of last year, I got hired as a private coach at my rink here in Florida. So I was able to start doing private lessons and all that stuff. And I told her a little bit at dance camp, like I got into it, like kind of what was going on during my off season. She was like, that's amazing. That's great. I would love for you to come out to Arizona. I didn't really think much of it. And then I saw her at Pickin International. And she was like, so when are you coming to Arizona? Like, we have to like text about it and arrange. So then after picking, we arranged and I said May would be good because I'm not competing this month. So anytime in May. So I flew out there. She has a lot of kids and they all work so hard and they're all so sweet and they're all so lovely. And how Naomi runs it. Naomi, I give her so much props and so much credit because she's not only a wife and a mom, she's also running all this stuff and coaching and traveling to competitions. And, you know, she is one of the most amazing people. It was the most amazing experience. All the kids worked super hard. Actually, on my desk right now, I'm in my dorm. One of the girls named Alex, she made me this little crocheted duck.
Oh my gosh, it's adorable.
So shout out to Alex. I very much love it. I keep this on my desk at all times. It was so amazing to see another academy and see how they all train because they all work really hard too. And Naomi has kids of all levels, from preliminary through senior. So I was able to work with every single kid for the whole week and really see what they needed. Obviously, she guided me and gave me some like, okay, this is, you know, look at their free dance, look at their rhythm dance, look at their patterns. But, you know, she's been so great, and we're already talking about me coming back out there once the season ends. So I cannot speak more highly of Naomi. She is probably one of the most amazing people I've ever met.
You know, it's funny. Anne came up with the idea after going to see, I don't remember how it came about. Anne went to the rink because she goes up to the ice den every once in a while to see Naomi and her team.
Mm-hmm.
And she met a girl who was going into the police academy.
She told me this story. Yep.
Yes. And she decided that would make a great story. And it grew from there into a much bigger project because she started with that and then she went down a complete solo dance rabbit hole. Talking to coaches and skaters. And then she did a whole series last year that continued with some of the kids from the ice den, but then branched out. And that, I mean, that's a lot of our solo dance article section is from all of Anne's rabbit hole work that she did.
Yeah.
It's.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, when Anne came out, she was so, like, she seemed, like, so excited to be there, seemed so excited to talk to the kids about their experience. I was just, the one thing I told Naomi, I was just like, I just hope the kids don't think I'm being too hard on them. And that was the one thing. I was just kind of like, I just, because, you know, I want to push them, but I'm like, I don't know what they're used to. And I, you know, I was just kind of like, I don't want them to, like, tell this lady I'm mean and be like, I'm being too intense. And she's like, no.
I can't imagine.
They're that. Like, no, no. She was like reassuring me. She was like, no, it's good. It's good. You know, they need to be, you know, they need this. And so, but no, Anne being out there, she was like, she was so excited to talk to them and like hear about, you know, their program, seeing what's going on with them and the, you know, so it was just amazing also. And, you know, shout out to Anne. Thank you for coming out. Thank you. Naomi and I very much appreciate it. And all the dancers did as well.
So Brooke, you mentioned a little bit ago something about staying another year to do the 80s. And now you're going to stay. Were you thinking of stepping away?
I was. I was. It was kind of reaching a point for me where when I was like, okay, I'm turning 20 this year. There's obviously a financial component to the sport, you know, for everybody. I've won at, you know, at the time, and it was before nationals last year. It's like, okay, won nationals once. I have a silver medal. I'm going again this year. Like, who knows what's going to happen? Like, I've done everything I can, because this, like, I didn't really know what was going to happen internationally. So it was kind of a matter of my family being like, well, if it's going to be going farther, then we're here to, you know, support and everything like that. But if it's not going any further, and I'm also a college student, like, where's the balance going to be of like, you've done everything you possibly can and you've done amazingly at it. So what's the next step? Just keep doing the same thing over and over again? Or do we like pick up on life, go through the next steps of life and stuff like that? Just because we weren't sure what was going to happen with international. And I held it out to the very last second until I confirmed I was going to Finland. because there was never, of course, the thought of being done was tough. And it was kind of like, is this really going to be my last one? Is this really going to be it? And then before nationals, another thing too was Kristen and Igor, because it was kind of brought up, but the conversation was never really there. But we knew that there was a thought, like the thought of it being the last time was there. And going into that season, every competition was like, this might be the last. Who knows? This might be the last. Who knows? In my mind. Because it was scary. I've competed since I was 4 years old. And then going through a year not competing, that's crazy. So that thought was scary to me. And then, like I said before, the second we found out that there was going to be an international competition, I was like, okay, I'm in it. We're good. I'm in. I'm not leaving. You was like, there's still more to do. And that's exactly it. It was just, is there more to do? Is it time to just pick up on my professional career and do shows and just coach and finish school and progress that way? Or is there more to do competitively? And I'm happy to say that there is more to do competitively before I do that. And I think another thing that kind of brought up that conversation, yes, I think another thing that brought up that conversation was just the fact that I did do a lot of shows last season, which was very, very fun. And that was another thing, like, ooh, like, do I just want to do shows? You know, it was just kind of experimenting and stuff with what I might want to go forward and do. But the plan is that I am still here and I'm still here to do more and to keep going with whatever this solo dance world is going to come out with every year. Because now it seems to be a little more every year, which I'm not mad about. And then go ahead and finish out, you know, with college and shows and coaching and see where everything takes me.
Well, there seem to be a lot of opportunities, at least for the near future, with what the ISU is doing.
Yes.
With solo dance. Yes. And I'm hoping that it does build from here. Yeah. It's really interesting to hear you say, I'm turning 20.
I know.
Because I know in partner dance, in team dance, there are skaters in their 30s.
35, yeah.
And you know what?
Yeah.
I didn't say this before. I didn't even say this before. And Igor looked at me and he goes, I didn't retire until I was like 30 something. And I was like, you can't talk to me. I was like, you went to the Olympics. I was like, right? I was like, relax. I was like, you're a little different here. And again, I think a big part of it, you know, was life and family, and that aspect of it did play a large role. And then, you know, stuff changed and we're still in it. I'm still here and I'm not mad about
it. There you go.
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate both of you coming on and talking more solo dance with us. Mm-hmm. Especially with nationals. I'm calling it nationals.
Call it nationals next week. Daphne.
Yeah. I'm really excited to see how things happen next week. I don't know that it's being streamed anywhere to be able to watch. So
it's not.
So we just have to follow IDC social media and watch what Brooke is doing.
Yes.
There you go.
I'll keep all of you guys updated. Don't worry.
Exactly.
On the ground reporting. We wish you both the best of luck. And I'm sure we'll have you back on at some point to talk some more.
Yes. Always a treat to come on. It's always so much fun.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of This Week in Skating. Remember, you can keep up with us throughout the week by visiting our website at www.thisweekinskating.com. Connect with us on social media for additional updates. You can find us on Twitter at This Week in Skating without the E's, or Facebook, Instagram, and Threads at This Week in Skating. You got a burning question or feedback for Gina, Daphne, or Mateo? Reach out to us via social media or drop us an email at thisweekinskating@gmail.com. And if you're really enjoying the show and want to support us further, consider joining our Patreon community at patreon.com/thisweekinskating. Until next time, have a nice week.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today.
BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In partnership with MGM Northfield Park.